This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Kia ora and welcome to Garden of Sound. I'm your host Ian Turner. Today on the show, Bryony Matthews. But first, there's a couple of days left for you to enter our Rhythm and Alps competition. We had Alex Turnbull on the show just a few weeks back and he very kindly gave us a pair of camping tickets to this year's Rhythm and Alps worth almost $500. So if you're over 18 and you want to enter this amazing competition, just head to gardenofsound.nz/win. You can stick your details in the form and you're in the draw. I'll be letting you know who's won next Friday on the show, so make sure you tune in for that one. Okay, today, Bryony Matthews. She's a singer, songwriter, a guitarist, an event promoter, and an actress. Bryony grew up on the mean streets of Takaka, the top of New Zealand's South Island. She has a fantastic album to her name, and in just a couple of weeks, she'll be debuting the first EP from her new pop trio, Your Indigo. But how did Bryony get to where she is today, and what lessons did she have to learn to get there? This is the Garden of Sound interview with Bryony Matthews on Plains FM 96.9. Bryony, I want you to tell me, first time ever that music entered your consciousness as a young person. You went, what's that?
I don't know. As a really, really little child, I used to hear things. You know the theme song to Young Ones?
Yes.
That really caught my attention as a 5-year-old. And I couldn't, I just wanted to sing over and over and over and over. And I used to hear these things that I'd just want to keep playing over and over again. And I'd try and figure them out on the piano. And so I guess 4 or 5. If I look back in retrospect, I was passionate about music.
You say work down on the piano. Were there instruments in the house?
Yeah, my dad is a musician. He played and made African marimbas for 25 years. He started as a drummer, as in African drums, and then it moved into marimbas. He's hugely musical. He's very talented. He plays piano, but it's just self-taught. My mum played a bit of piano. My oldest brother plays guitar. My other brother dabbled in DJing.
So was musical instruction something that was encouraged?
No.
Where did you go to school?
I went to primary school at Central Takaka. Uh-huh. So in Golden Bay. I grew up in Golden Bay. We had the option of learning recorder, as you do. I wish it was ukulele. But we didn't have that then.
Why ukulele?
Well, it's just so much more interesting. It sounds nicer and you learn more.
Which begs the question, why they put so many parents and children through the pain of playing?
Recorder.
Perhaps because it's cheap?
It's cheap. You can, a school can buy recorders. That's how I learned how to read music. But also singing was, it was always singing at my school at Central Takaka. Because we had, it was a tiny school, 50 people, 3 teachers. One of the teachers was a piano player. Every Thursday afternoon, the whole after lunchtime, the whole of the afternoon was just all the classes come together and we just sung songs. And I loved that so much.
What kind of songs were you singing?
Oh, war songs and
Vera Lynn-esque numbers.
And, flash dance and...
Okay. It's from one extreme to the other.
Bright Eyes. Yeah, but I remember those afternoons and I loved them. I loved singing and I remember my friends getting annoyed because I was singing too loud in their ear or something. But I just loved singing. Always loved singing.
So what sort of age was it when we were flash dancing and bright eyesing?
Probably 6, 7.
Did you feel that you had a sort of a natural talent for music?
Oh, I don't know. I just enjoyed it, and I used to take this little tape recorder into my bedroom as a 5 and 6 year old and record myself singing.
Were there sort of any contemporaries at that young age, or maybe sort of heading through to sort of high school age that you were hanging out with and performing with, or was it just Bryony on
It was
her own?
Just school shows, and I did The Sound of Music when I was 8, played Brigitte. It was just, because Takaka is very small, so...
How was it being on stage, age 8?
I loved being on stage. I was, I always loved being on stage. That was my thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely.
We'll just remind you that today's show is being brought to you from Gatherings Restaurant in Christchurch. So if you do hear any of the noise, that is the wonderful Beely Ave and Papanui Road corner. So when did you first pick up a guitar?
When I was 14. So this is the annoying thing. So when I was 10, I moved down to Christchurch with my mum. I was supposed to be starting guitar lessons at my school, which I would have been a great guitarist now, but I didn't. So when I was 14, I was just at a friend's house who was older than me. Like, she was in her 20s, and she just had a guitar and a chord chart, and I just picked it up and started teaching myself some chords. And I'd always been writing songs, you know, just as a little girl does kind of thing. But that was when I first was able to properly construct a full song.
Those first songs, do you remember what any of them were about?
When I was very young, my songs were always very emotionally driven. I guess, you know, things at school, friends, things that were tormenting me, that kind of thing. But yeah, so that's how I slowly built up my guitar playing skills, because I'd write a song with like three chords and then I'd introduce a new chord, so like make a song with that chord, and it would force me to play that. And then, yeah, obviously just as I got older, I got better at playing.
We've gotten sort of an early foray into guitar, and obviously a talent for music. Was there anything else that you were studying for, whether that was in the arts or...
Acting was going to be my thing. As a young girl, I wanted to be a singer. So me and my very good friend, who now lives in Bristol, she's an amazing singer, is very, very musical. We had a little girl band called Ice, which was shortened from Spice.
Okay, the Ice Girls.
The Ice Girls, yeah, exactly. So we used to have, like, you know, I've still got all our songs there, and some of them I'm like, man, you know, these could be made into money-making pop songs. But, you know, so then I really wanted to be a singer, and then as I grew older and went to high school, it was more acting that I was focusing on, because I just loved being on stage. And I was quite good at acting, and I went to like original scripts drama school for years, and then when I finished, I did a show when I was 17 called Bliss at the Court Theatre, which was, I don't know if you know Mike Friend, he started the Loons, in Littleton, and now, so he came over from England and did this show that they'd done in the Edinburgh Festival, and they did it here, which was a very controversial show for Christchurch.
Why was that?
It was three characters. I had to give myself an abortion in it. Lots of people walking out, throwing up, fainting, that kind of thing. But it was a really cool show. It was really... I did that with James Beck, who was a friend back then. And yeah, so I did that, and then I finished high school, and then I went to Hagley Theatre Company, which was great. But I was very naive, and I guess, well, looking back, because of the era that I grew up in, it was the pop culture. I had seen this kind of wave of, you know, all the bands, like the man-made bands. So my view of how things worked is that everybody did it for you, like you didn't have to work hard. And so I literally, and you know, I just had this whole Hollywood idea of like how you get a big break and then it all gets handed to you. And so that's,
I think a lot of people do.
Yeah, but it's terrible, because I left Hagley Theatre Company, and then I didn't get into Toi Whakaari, which was a massive blow for me. And then I moved to Melbourne, and I didn't know how to work hard, and like didn't realise how much acting requires, especially in New Zealand.
You're talking outside of the actual craft, more hustle to get the gigs.
And I wasn't prepared for that.
So what did you learn from those experiences?
Oh, well, at the time I was just like, whatever, screw this. And I kind of just fell away from it. But then I did start, I was getting more into my songwriting. I spent many years, I guess, developing my craftsmanship as a songwriter and getting better. And then I just kind of put the acting aside.
So acting's loss is music's gain?
Yeah, and I think it's better for me now. I just, if something organically happened, then I would be up for it. But it's not something I want to pursue anymore.
Mm.
I enjoy the independent side that you have with music, and it's your own creation. And like it is the same. You still have to work hard and do things, but it's in a different way. Like you don't have to depend so much on other people, I suppose.
Mm.
Like if you want to do a gig, you do a gig.
But that's also because you've had the experience of doing
that's
the
gigs. That's true. That's true. I guess, yeah, my passion just changed and I fell into it more easily.
So earlier we had Vera Lynn and Irene Cara and obviously Art Garfunkel as some of those kind of songs that you were singing back at school. Influence-wise, is there any artist, whether it's a singer, a songwriter, or perhaps a musician, that you could sort of put your finger on and say, yeah, this has sort of helped me or pointed me in?
Yeah, so I find that a really hard question because growing up, my dad played a lot of Genesis and John Anderson and I guess the Seekers and Kate Bush. And through my songwriting as a teenager, he looks at things like time signatures and chord progressions and different things, and he's like, that's very Genesis or that's very Kate Bush. And I'm like, oh, is it? So I've subconsciously been influenced by these people. But I, thinking about it, I think one of the only people that I really look at is Anika Moore. And I just loved her rawness and her honesty and her songwriting. Like, there's something about the way that she writes lyrics which I just really relate to. And I've just followed her ever since I was 15, seen her play many a time. And actually, when I've got a friend called Stephen Hurd, who's in a band called Clap Clap Riot. Years ago, he sat down with me to kind of helped me workshop my songwriting skills, and his question was like, so is there anyone that you would, you know, think of? And that was the only person I've could come up with. So I guess that's the person I'd stick with.
What track are we gonna hear?
One of her very first tracks called Flowers for You, which is on her first album, Thinking Room.
Why specifically that track?
It just moves me. It's just a beautiful melancholy song. Yeah. I always go back to that album and that song.
It's a lovely day, a lovely day. It's a pretty old flower, red and blue. Same old typical scenario. Take me away from your terrible lies. Take me away from it all. Show me I'm useful to steal for a while. Show me how to rule the
This is the Garden of Sound interview with Bryony Matthews on Plains FM 96.9.
Hey, my sisters and brothers, it's Brad from the Butlers and the Singlefin Mingle. If you're looking for a top-notch screen printer for your next big shindig, then go down to see James at Against the Grain Screen Printing. He's been printing our t-shirts and merch for the Mingle for many, many moons. He's an absolute ledge, and he's one of the few qualified textile lords in the city. So get down and see him, you're guaranteed a great price and a mean result. Check him out on the World Wide Web, atgscreen.co.nz. That's atgscreen.co.nz.
This is the Garden of Sound interview with Bryony Matthews on Plains FM 96.9. I want to talk about gigs. I want to talk about first big gig.
I guess I have to have two answers for that.
That's good.
Because when I was young, my dad and also my mum at the time actually were playing marimbas. So I went along to a lot of marimba gigs. And you can't...
Really? Are there a lot of marimba gigs?
Well, in Golden Bay.
Oh, of course.
When there was a marimba band happening.
Oh, wow.
I went to a lot of marimba. I've been to a lot of marimba gigs in my lifetime. So that was probably my first big gig.
For those people that don't really have much musical knowledge, can you explain a marimba?
It's pretty much a big wooden, very loud xylophone that makes you want to dance. Like if marimbas play, you want to dance. Yep. They're huge.
Shake your booty.
You usually have a band of like 10 of them or something, 7 to 10. There's a massive bass and then it goes up to down to a soprano.
Wow.
And you have host shows which are shakers and things, and it's just like absolute African dance
music. Would
there
be a güiro in there somewhere?
There wasn't in this band.
Okay.
But so I went along to a lot of those and they definitely make you go wow. But I guess my first like gig of choice, I think Summer Jam, just a big like kind of underage show that they put on in the, it was the Westpac Stadium. Lots of different bands, lots of different kind of punky, poppy, rocky bands. But I used to go to those every year when I was a teenager, and I saw like, you know, Silverchair, which was great, and Good Charlotte, and Killing Heidi and Tadpole back in those days. And like they were really good.
Have you ever played electric guitar?
I had an electric guitar, but for years I didn't really know what to do with it.
Okay.
And then recently I sold it, and then in my new band, Your Indigo, I'm like, I wish I didn't sell that.
A little bit of an overdrive pedal, you know?
Yeah.
New spin on the songs.
I should have kept it.
Moving from acting to music, has there been a great sort of learning curve or learning opportunity for you?
Definitely. My big, I guess I'll call it journey, when I was 27, I just come out of a big, horrible, horrendous, long breakup relationship, blah, 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 as one does. And then I went travelling overseas for a year, and I kind of stuffed all of my young 20s into that year. But part of that year, because I was based in London and then working and travelling, part of that was I didn't really play gigs, but I was... two things I really wanted to do when I was over there was eat lots of food and listen to lots of see lots of music, because there's just so much music and it's cheap and it's everywhere. And I wrote a lot of songs when I was over there, huge time for songwriting. But part of being in London was going to all these, you know, really small underground kind of little gigs and open mics and just different pockets of things, and seeing everybody doing it, like, no matter if they're good or not, like everybody was just doing it. And that really was a big realization for me that I think I had actually been holding myself back. I don't know, like I think it's just maybe it's part of the New Zealand psyche, which I thought had never affected me, but actually it just does. So yeah, just seeing everybody do it, I was like, I just need to go home and actually just do it and not overthink it. So that was a big... it was a big realization.
So you come back to New Zealand and you realise I've got to do it. So tell me about that sort of like formative, how did you get in and how did you do it?
So before I came back home, I'd looked into courses and things, and I decided on a mains course doing live sound engineering.
Brilliant.
Yeah, which was the best thing I've ever done.
Why?
Because that's where I met everybody that I know now. Because I came back to Christchurch with the intention of actually moving, being here for a year, doing my course and then going back to Auckland, because I'd spent a lot of time living in Auckland and have friends there. And I just didn't see myself remaining in Christchurch. But then, you know, once I've actually started to meet people and make a community for myself and, you know, make friends and have this community of like-minded people that made me stay here. You know, I'll never be a sound engineer because I just don't quite have the technical brain for it. But it was just great because I learned a lot just for myself and gigging and that kind of thing. But then I just, you know, obviously we're involved with putting on shows, and I got to just help out with one of the first nostalgias. And then through nostalgia, I met like most of my friends now, including my partner.
So tell me, out of all of that, the trials and tribulations of growing up, is there any one piece of advice that you would look back and say to little Bryony, do or don't, or do more of? Or
it would be, have a backup plan. Don't be naive. Don't be so stuck on one thing. Like, be open to different paths in life. And yeah, because I was so like, I'm going to be an actor. By the time I'm 21, I'm going to be a famous actor.
Where did that come from? Is this the parents telling you you can do anything?
Not at all. I honestly believe it's the pop culture that we grew up with as preteens. This candy-filled pop culture. This idea that, you know, someone spends all the money and you just are the star. That was totally ingrained in my brain as a young person.
Were there any songs written about that?
No, I think I need to write one, actually, because I think this is kind of something that, because me and my partner both come from the same era, so we talk about it sometimes. So it's kind of been I've been aware of it kind of in the last year. So yeah, no, I need to write a song about that.
It's music time, and I'm going to ask you another difficult question about your favourite piece of music, because it's just easy to pick one.
Mm.
Is there a track that you want to share out of your vast number of favourites?
Number of favourites. Yes, I do have a single track out of my, like you say, vast number. But this song is by a group called Portico Quartet, and it's called Prickly Pear.
Portico Quartet.
Yep.
Prickly Pear.
Yep.
There we go.
It's I discovered it through the joys of discovering music on Spotify.
Amazing. And putting up with the ads in between.
Oh. Well, we pay for premium, so that's...
Oh.
You got it when you listen to a lot of music.
Thank you. Hey, I'm Max, singer and guitarist from Merlin Co. When you need some stellar photos to help sell your band or next gig, get in touch with Shannon Jessica. She's not just a great photographer, she froths local music. And that passion comes through full swing in all the work she does. This month, Shannon's offering a lovely introductory special, meaning your shoot could cost as little as $150. But these packages have got to be snatched up by the end of the month. So visit shannonjessica.com for a beaut portfolio from your next gig. That's shannonjessica.com.
This is the Gardener Sound Interview with Bryony Matthews on Plains FM 96.9. I want to talk about production, and it's interesting that you talked about the whole Mains experience. Your first album, when did you decide, I want to do this thing and get it happening?
I've wanted to make an album for so many years, but I'm glad it didn't happen too early, because looking back, it just wasn't the right time. Like, I hadn't properly kind of developed my sound or my songwriting and things, even my vocals, actually.
But there are plenty of bands out there that have gone out and just done it.
I know, but it costs so much money.
True.
No, I'm glad it happened when it did, because it was after I came back from overseas and I'd written this massive amount of songs. So there are some songs that I wrote over there on the album.
What's the album called?
Little Queen.
Little Queen.
Yes.
Okay.
My father as a little girl. When I was a little girl, he'd often say that in another life I was a queen, because I was quite stubborn and knew what I want and very serious.
Mm-hmm. Let them eat cake,
yep,
and such.
Yep,
cut
exactly
off their head.
Yep.
Yep.
So that kind of comes from that. I didn't have a band for years. I was just a soloist. And then through doing the course at Mains, I started playing with a guy called Tom McMenamin, and he played with me for a little while. We were like a little duo. So that was the beginning. I was doing a few gigs, like putting those gigs on myself because I'd learned how to do it through mains. And then I met some other musicians, Adam Hadaway and AJ Park, and they're the ones playing on my album. So yeah, I kind of just asked them if they wanted to make an album with me, and they were keen, and Adam is super friendly and super awesome and super talented. So we kind of got together, and I would just play my songs, and he'd bring his own, you know, craziness. He's a crazy guitar player. And then him and AJ are really good mates. So we'd all be in Al Park's living room practicing. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was just the three of us. I didn't actually have a bass player then. So I was kind of intending on making a EP, and then we just kind of decided, like, screw it, we'll just do an album. It's a short album. It's like 9 songs.
Where did you record?
We recorded with Edward Costello. He's in a band called the Dictaphone Blues. Dictaphone Blues. So he has his own little recording studio up in the lab in Mount Eden. It's not the lab, but it's in that building. And I'd met him through other friends at a party, blah, blah, blah. Got him to play at a gig down here when I was studying. He was one of the ones that I put on with the gigs that I'd organised. And, yeah, just asked if he'd be keen to do it. He was super keen. So we literally went up and just slammed it out over 3 days. And that was a really, really amazing process for me.
Funding for it. How did you afford?
My money.
Yep. Is this scrawled away from working other jobs?
Pretty much.
And that kind of thing?
Oh yeah, I got me a credit card, which is now going to take me about 7 years to pay off.
Okay. So it's the album musician's equivalent of a student loan in a way.
Yeah, it's not the greatest, but you do it because you really want to do it.
You want to. Yeah. Tell me about how Maine's sort of influenced the production process of the album, or I guess you're listening back to it.
I'm not sure if it did. It was more that it helped me make these contacts and meet these people. Like, that's the biggest thing that Maines did for me. Because one of our projects was to create a gig. It was an event, you know, management course, just a small part of it. And we had to invent a gig, and I did. And then I was like, I'm actually just going to make this gig. So I did it. It was called Live in the Attic, and it was on top of C1. So there was a building, like there's a room on top of C1, and it was a huge success. It was a massive fluke. I had like French for Rabbits and Jed Parsons, and I played, and Ed Costello, he played a solo. So I actually had like a really good lineup. I got like the gear from Maine's, all the, you know, the students helped me, and then I just pretty much hired all this lighting and got some kegs, and like, actually, did, looking back, I'm like, how did I do that? Because, you know, putting on stuff is quite a big deal.
It's fearless, in a way.
I guess I didn't know any better, really. But I did it, and it succeeded. And, yeah, so through those kind of things, because like, that's kind of the way I went with the courses, like the management things. Like, I kept doing gigs after that. Yeah, so through the course, it helped me meet all the people that I needed to know, because you obviously need to know the right people.
We're going to talk about your Indigo music in the next section of the show. Any more Bryony stuff on her own? Any more recordings?
Yes.
In the future?
I'm in the slow, arduous process of recording a new EP.
Uh-huh.
I'm doing that with Ryan Fisherman. So that's just lack of money that's keeping it slow.
Yeah.
But I'm still playing with AJ Park is still my drummer, and now I have Ben Odering, who's my bassist. He used to play in Salad Boys and other various things.
And a very good masterer, apparently.
And a very, yes, yep, no, he is.
It's Christ
a very good mixer, actually.
Yeah.
And also Josh Holmes, who's also in Your Indigo. He plays electric guitar in my band. So we've got this really, like, I love those guys because they bring my music to life.
Excellent.
So, yeah.
Can we hear something off Little Queen?
Yes. It's called Gift of Your Flame.
Okay, and why, yep, this particular track?
It's just, I think this is one of the more timeless tracks on the album. Yeah.
Jump thought and glad Roxy, flying by my side.
This is the Garden of Sound interview with Bryony Matthews on Plains FM 96.9. We just heard a track off Little Queen, which is great. But there's a new project which has sort of been out and about for a little while. And I hear there's an EP on the way. Do you want to tell me a little bit about your Indigo Music? You've already talked about Josh, but there's another person who's part of that group.
So it's Amelia Grinnell, who's a well-known folk singer. So she's a very, very, very dear friend of mine. So, and so is Josh. So we're all quite close, and we came together. How old is my daughter? 2. Not long after my daughter was born, we came together and we used to have dinners every Wednesday, and we'd just sit down with the children. Amelia's daughter would come along as well and just write music and things. So recently we just finished recording our EP. And Josh has done an amazing job mixing it, and we have an EP release show on the 6th of December at Space Academy, and we're playing that alongside The Response, who also have an album to release. So kind of doing
a double release.
Exactly.
As you do. There's a lot of music happening in Christchurch that weekend. Tell me about your Indigo Music in terms of style and how it sort of differs from Bryony.
So we all wanted, originally there's me, who obviously does what I do. Amelia is a folk singer, and then Josh is also Junus Orca and Other Sun, which is two of his electronic projects. So we all came together and wanted to combine what we do, but just make something really fun. Me and Amelia both wanted to have a project that wasn't so much about writing emotive music and just to like wear fun costumes, and she wanted to play a drum and just have some fun on stage. And I guess we're kind of drawing on our like poppy influences as children as well. So Josh brings his freaking amazing electronic skills, and then we do the songwriting, you know, harmonies and everything over top. And we do have some instruments, like we have a high-strung acoustic guitar, which we share, and Amelia plays a floor tom, got some electric guitar, and yeah. So it's, I can't actually relate it to many things. It's quite unique, which is exciting for us. It's, you'll just have to, you just have to listen to our music and come along to our show.
Tell me about the live music scene in Christchurch, sort of full stop.
Obviously, Blue Smoke, Jess Shanks has done an amazing job with that. She's just created such a good spot. There's Dark Room, which I haven't been to for a long time since I've had a child, but when Marcus Whitstanley was running, I used to be there and play there a lot, which was great. Space Academy is awesome. That's always been a great spot, and now that it's just focusing on music, it's just going to even be an even better place. It's funny, we used to, in gatherings here, we used to have an event called Little Room, which was every first Sunday of the month, we'd have like a really nice chilled out kind of acoustic feel. Like we had the Swan Sisters and Holly Aerosmith and Fraser Ross, and that was awesome. We did get frustrated because there is a thing in Christchurch where people don't necessarily want to pay to see music.
And that's the big thing. There's this ongoing discussion about paying a cover charge, paying just something to get along.
We've just started making like koha entry because actually people tend to feel less annoyed and pay more, which is, you know, it's just a silly mental thing, isn't it? But yeah, it's just because part of the Little Room thing was just trying to get people to come out, and you know, it's $10, like there's nothing. But for some reason, the Christchurch does have this funny mentality, like they're
why
very,
should I have to pay yeah, for it?
They're very happy to pay for people that are big, you know. Yeah, it's a thing.
But how do those people get big?
Exactly,
because they play
exactly.
Yeah,
that's an ongoing struggle.
Okay, aside from December 6th and aside from the other Bryony EP, anything off in the future that you would like to achieve, whether it's playing at a particular gig or festival or event, or, I don't know, working with someone, whether that's a producer, engineer or other musicians?
It's actually just, I'm just really excited about the future of Your Indigo at the moment. Just really want us to kind of get us established and, you know, start playing festivals and get our music out there, and because I think we're really talented, like the three of us together, we just make really good music. So kind of just want to really focus on that. I love working with them because they're my mates and it's just so much fun. It's just, you know, I feel a new sense of energy. Yeah,
that's amazing.
So I kind of just want to, I can't think of anybody else that I want to work with at the moment. I just kind of want to focus on this.
Track to take us out with today?
So the last track will be Your Indigo's new single.
Mm-hmm.
So that's called Glass Cloud.
And tell us what Glass Cloud is about, or should we just
imagine? We have quite obscure names for our songs.
Glass Cloud.
I actually wrote the lyrics, most of the lyrics for that one. I guess it's about, as humanity, like stepping out of your own comfort zone and being accepting of humanity and other walks of life and getting out into different parts of the world and being open and not being judgmental. Yeah.
Bryony, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you very much.
Your face.
Time for my track of the week, keeping it in the debut family, so to speak. It's The Response. You'll remember my interview a few months ago with Andy and Vic. Well, come December 6th, they'll be releasing their new album alongside Your Indigo. Here's their latest track, Picture Undefined.
All the little things that don't seem to count won't be soon forgotten. Leaves me with a taste bitter in my mouth. Never what I wanted. Think I lost my mind for just a little while. I was wiped clean. See it like a dream, but somewhere in between. Am I okay? Or have I lost it? Making ocean right between us.
Thanks for being here today. My guest was the exceptionally talented Bryony Matthews. You can find out more about the Your Indigo gig by heading to gardenofsound.nz and clicking on Bryony's picture. It's at Space Academy on Friday the 6th of December and it's going to be brilliant. Now remember, there's just a couple of days left for you to enter the Rhythm and Alps competition. with a two-day camping prize worth almost $500 up for grabs. Just head to gardenofsound.nz to enter, but you must be 18 or over. I'll be announcing the winner of that prize on next week's show, where, funnily enough, I'll be chatting to David Parlane, promoter for Selwyn Sounds. And you never know, there may just be another giveaway on the cards. I'd love to have you back same time next week for Garden of Sound. So in the meantime, keep well, keep listening, and keep playing. Haere rā.